Did you know that the eyes of Nile crocodiles shine like flashlights on a full moon night because of a reflective layer behind their retina? Or that the temperature in the nest of crocodile eggs determines whether females or males hatch? Yes. And how is it possible that a person can hold a Nile crocodile's jaw shut with their bare hands? I am the safari guide, and my name is Frank. And in my first podcast episode, I will take you into the fascinating world of the Nile crocodile. This animal actually has a somewhat misleading name. It doesn't just live along the Nile, but is widespread throughout large parts of Africa. It's called that because the first naturalists knew it from the Nile. And for the sake of simplicity, in this episode, I will refer to it simply as the crocodile, but I always mean the Nile crocodile. And perhaps you have already observed on a safari how zebras or antelopes approach a watering hole. They approach the river very cautiously, and especially right at the water's edge, they react to every sound and every movement. The animals know instinctively, from behind, a lion or a leopard could attack at any moment. But the real danger lurks in the water. Silently, the crocodiles wait there beneath the surface. You often see only the eyes, the nostrils, and the ears above the water's surface. And suddenly, in the next moment, they shoot out of the water and snatch their prey. And crocodiles have incredibly strong muscles to close their jaws. When they bite down, the teeth of the upper and lower jaws interlock. It's like a vise. And with this grip, they pull their prey into the water and drown it. And this grip also allows them to perform their infamous death roll, one of the most spectacular hunting techniques in the animal kingdom. When a crocodile grabs its prey, it spins its entire body lightning fast around its own axis, again and again with incredible force. In the process, they tear off limbs and entire chunks of flesh from the animal. The jaws are strong enough to crush bones effortlessly. But what's interesting is that the muscles for opening the jaws are extremely weak. So weak, in fact, that a person can hold a crocodile's mouth shut with their bare hands. What do crocodiles eat? They eat almost anything that moves. Baby crocodiles feed on insects, spiders, frogs, and small fish. Adult crocodiles also eat larger prey, such as birds, snakes, and even mammals, zebras, for example. The main food of a crocodile is primarily fish. And their favorite fish is the catfish, also known as the whales. Now I'm going to tell you about an exciting scene. I observed it in the Limpopo River in the north of Kruger National Park in South Africa. A crocodile has a huge catfish in its mouth, and with violent jerking movements, the animal thrashes its head back and forth until the fish tears in two, and only then does it swallow the pieces one after the other. One might wonder why the animal eats in such a complicated way. The explanation is quite simple. Crocodiles cannot chew. Unlike us humans, crocodiles do not have molars. Their teeth are designed to grab and hold prey, but not to crush it. That means the prey, or a part of it, is swallowed whole without being chewed. And that's why a crocodile's esophagus is extremely elastic. Everything that gets between their jaws usually makes it all the way to the stomach. And a crocodile's stomach is truly very special. The gastric juices are so strong that they can easily dissolve fur, bones, and even hooves. Their pH value is among the lowest in the entire animal kingdom. And especially fascinating, crocodiles deliberately swallow stones. Sometimes they are as large as a golf ball. The stones help to grind up tough food like turtle shells or large bones. And even these stones eventually dissolve in the acidic gastric juices. By the way, crocodiles cannot eat underwater. Why is that? When we humans dip our heads underwater, we automatically close our mouths and our lips prevent water from getting in. Crocodiles don't have lips. When they dive underwater, water immediately flows into their mouths and would actually continue into the windpipe. But that doesn't happen because at the back of the mouth, there is a secondary palate flap. And this flap of skin closes off the throat. As a result, when diving, no water can get into the lungs or the stomach. And this closed throat is the reason why crocodiles can't eat underwater. But crocodiles are able to dive well and for a long time. Typical dives usually don't last longer than 20 minutes. In exceptional cases, they slow down their heartbeat so much that their heart beats only 3 times per minute. And that's how they manage to stay underwater for an hour, sometimes even longer. Useful for diving is a third eyelid, the nictitating membrane, which you can imagine as a built-in pair of swimming goggles. It is thin, transparent, and it protects the eyeball. Crocodiles can see clearly underwater because of it. And they are very good swimmers. The powerful tail propels the crocodile through the water with enormous force. In the water, crocodiles can reach speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour. I think that's impressively fast. That's about 10 times as fast as the average person swims, and more than 3 times as fast as elite swimmers can manage over short distances. If a person encounters a crocodile while swimming, the odds are not in their favor. Swimming away is basically impossible, and that raises the question, can a person even survive a crocodile attack? The answer is, it is almost impossible to free yourself from those jaws. But there are exceptions. Some people have actually managed to do it, and they did so by attacking the crocodile's most sensitive spots. The eyes, the nostrils, and the ears. If you are attacked by a crocodile and still have the strength and the opportunity, you can try to strike exactly at these spots with your fingers, fists, or an object. With a bit of luck, the crocodile might let go one more time. You would probably survive such an attack badly injured, but at least you would be alive. And that's why I always keep a big distance from bodies of water. I have respect for that. Such an attack happens faster than you think. What do crocodiles actually do when they're not just lying around lazily or eating? They take care of their offspring. Females as well as males become sexually mature between 12 and 15 years of age. At this point, they are about 2 to 3 meters long. And when mating season begins, depending on the region between May and August, that's when things get really exciting along the riverbank. The males hum and slap their tails on the water. It's quite a spectacle to impress the females. But in the end, only the biggest and strongest males get their chance. And the actual mating takes place in the water. The male turns slightly to the side, lays his body over the female, and presses their cloacas together. Just a quick explanation. The cloaca is a common body opening for the digestive, urinary, and reproductive systems. And the actual act, that is, the pressing together of the cloacas, usually lasts only 30 seconds to a few minutes. And both sexes, by the way, also mate with multiple partners. About 2 months after mating, the female begins to lay eggs. To do this, the female looks for a sandy spot on the shore and digs a pit there with her strong legs. Sometimes it is up to 0.5 meter deep. In this pit, the female lays between 20 and 80 eggs. They are about the size of chicken eggs, but have a thicker, almost leathery shell. And finally, the crocodile carefully covers the clutch with sand again. The female defends her eggs resolutely against enemies, such as monitor lizards, jackals, or snakes. Because despite the hard shell, the eggs are an easy and tasty prey. The incubation period lasts about 3 months. During this time, the expectant mother stays alert nearby. She doesn't eat during this period, and only on particularly hot days does she briefly leave the nest to cool off in the water. And I find it absolutely fascinating that crocodiles don't have sex chromosomes. Instead, it's the temperature in the nest that determines whether males or females will hatch from the eggs. If the temperature is between 26 and 30 degrees Celsius, mostly females develop. At 31 to 34 degrees, mainly males are produced. And in the range in between, so at about 30 to 31 degrees, both sexes can emerge. Scientists suspect that it is especially the third week of incubation that is decisive. It is during this phase that the final determination of sex takes place. A female crocodile lays all her eggs in a single pit, and in the nest, different temperatures prevail. It is warmer at the top and a bit cooler at the bottom. And that is the reason why both male and female hatchlings develop in the same nest. When the young crocodiles are ready to hatch, they emit a shrill chirping sound. This is a sound that can be heard up to 20 meters away. And this is what it sounds like. Oh. unfortunately, I have never personally heard it live. Now the mother knows the time has come and helps to dig out her children. The young break open their own shells from the inside. A tiny egg tooth is helpful for this. This is a hardened tip on the snout of the young crocodiles. And the egg tooth falls off again shortly after hatching. It is no longer needed. If hatching does not work on its own, the mother helps and carefully breaks open the shell from the outside. And then comes probably the most caring moment in the life of a predator. The mother very gently takes her newly hatched young into her mouth, sometimes 20 at once, and carries them to the water. You have to picture that. A crocodile that can crush bones with a single bite now carries its tiny babies in its mouth and brings them safely to the water. The young from the same clutch stay close together for the first 3 months. The crocodile mother takes care of the young and protects them as best she can from enemies. For a young crocodile, there are many dangers. Birds often snatch young animals from the air, or snakes lie in wait, hidden in the bushes, and are happy to grab a meal. So it's no wonder that out of 50 hatchlings, only one reaches adulthood. Crocodile babies are about 30 centimeters long. In the beginning, they grow very rapidly, up to 30 centimeters per year. Roughly speaking, a crocodile that is 1 meter long is about 3 to 5 years old. The older the animals get, the more slowly they grow. However, their growth never completely stops. That means a crocodile is never fully grown, and on average, these animals live 50 to 70 years, reach 5 to 6 meters in length, and can weigh up to a ton. It's actually not so easy to determine how old a crocodile really is. A common method is to count the annual rings in their bones, similar to how it's done with trees. Each ring represents a phase when growth slowed down, usually between the rainy and dry seasons. But that's not always easy. Many crocodiles live in tropical regions. There are hardly any long dry periods there, so their growth remains relatively constant, and as a result, clear rings don't always form. And of course, you can only count the rings in the bones of dead animals, but that's also the case with trees. Now I'll move on to their preferred habitat. Crocodiles live by rivers, lakes, and swamps, or in national parks, often also at artificial waterholes. But what actually happens when such a body of water dries up? Crocodiles are true survival experts. They can go for months without water. What's important is that they have to protect themselves from overheating and dehydration. So how do they do that? They burrow into the moist mud, and sometimes they dig their own shady tunnels in sandbanks along the shore. During this dry period, they survive on their fat and nutrient reserves. They have those stored in their tails. And if things get too desperate, they set out, usually at night, and then they travel for kilometers overland until they find water. So be careful, you can encounter crocodiles far away from water as well. There is an important rule in the bush: whatever you do, do not run. So whatever you do, don't run away. And for most dangerous wild animals in Africa, this rule applies. They are almost always faster than humans, and running away only further triggers the animal's hunting instinct. However, if you encounter a crocodile on land, running away is actually a very good strategy. Crocodiles can run up to 15 kilometers per hour, but they don't have much stamina. So with a sprint, you can get yourself to safety quite well. Crocodiles are primarily nocturnal and are excellently equipped for it. Their pupils are vertically slit, similar to those of cats. And depending on the light, they either dilate or contract. This allows crocodiles to see extremely well in the dark. In addition, they have a special extra feature, the tapetum lucidum. Translated, that means shining carpet. And the tapetum lucidum is a reflective layer in the eye, located behind the retina. You can imagine it like a mirror. In low light, the light beam first passes through the retina and then hits the tapetum lucidum. There, the light beam is reflected back and hits the sensory cells a second time. The result is significantly better vision in the dark. Humans do not have such a layer. Light that passes through the retina is simply absorbed by the dark tissue behind it. With crocodiles, on the other hand, this reflection leads to the typical eye shine at night. Especially during a full moon, their eyes shine almost like flashlights. and that looks pretty spooky. And finally, let's take a look at how crocodiles interact with each other. Who calls the shots and how does life together on the river work? Crocodiles have a clear linear hierarchy. The biggest and strongest males, the alpha animals, have the best territories. Fights between the males often end very bloodily and with serious injuries. An alpha male claims its own territory. This stretches for about 60 meters along the shore and extends up to 50 meters out into the water. Crocodiles mark their territory with deep roars, threatening gestures, and occasionally with traces of feces or secretions along the shore. They regularly patrol their own area. They immediately drive away any intruding males. Especially during the mating season, large males are extremely aggressive. Females, on the other hand, can enter and leave the territory at any time. The females establish their own hierarchy among themselves. Here too, the oldest and largest animal is in charge. This ranking is especially important when it comes to the best nesting sites. One must not forget, crocodiles are not solitary animals. They can also appear surprisingly social. You often see them lying together in the sun. Sometimes it's two animals, sometimes 20 or 30 or even more. I once saw this myself in Murchison Falls National Park in Uganda. There, the White Nile plunges down a waterfall and many animals are swept away by the current. The waterfall becomes a death trap. And the crocodiles know this. They wait beneath the falls, side by side, as if at a feeding station. And they've learned every now and then fast food comes by here. And it's exactly these kinds of situations that show crocodiles are an integral part of Africa's river systems. Because what they eat or don't eat has direct consequences for the entire ecosystem. Because the crocodile plays a very important role in the ecological balance of aquatic environments. Its preferred food, as already mentioned, is the catfish. And this large predatory fish, in turn, loves to eat cichlids. And cichlids consume vast amounts of mosquito larvae. If there are no more crocodiles in the river, the catfish population increases too much, and as a result, the cichlids disappear. And that in turn leads to more mosquitoes and a higher risk of malaria. So crocodiles are not just dangerous predators, they keep the catfish population in balance and thus indirectly protect us humans as well. And that's it for today. That was my insight into what I believe is the fascinating world of the Nile crocodile. It is a master of survival, a silent hunter, a caring parent, and an important component in the delicate balance of Africa's river systems. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.